If you would grab your Bibles, turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The Lord messed with me a little bit. We know in the passage here in Hebrews chapter 11, as we've continued, that the next person up is Abraham. I'm going to skip Abraham, but only because somebody's kind of in the middle of the talk about Abraham here in Hebrews chapter 11. It's his wife, Sarah. And I thought, hey, I mean, it is Mother's Day. Let's stay on this trend of the ladies here, and we'll go ahead and look at some faith of one of the ladies on this list. Now, there aren't too many ladies named specifically on the list, of course, but this one in particular is a woman of great faith, I believe, and she makes the list, and I think she's also included in the several verses afterwards, although I'm not going to cover those tonight. But Hebrews chapter 11, we start the chapter off once again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And of course, we've already talked about Abel and Enoch and Noah last week, Noah. And normally we'd go right to verse number 8 and by faith Abraham. But you'll notice he's included there, and then a little bit later down in verse 17, by faith Abraham shows up again. So I thought maybe, just maybe, we'd go ahead and, although I started preparing to do Abraham, we shift gears and we're going to go ahead and jump to the middle a little bit. Verse number 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even out of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now, I think she's included in the "these all died in faith," all right? I think she's included in that list. Say why? Because he's referencing the ones he was just talking about, all right? And so that includes her, Abraham and Sarah most likely, and possibly even Isaac and Jacob and the rest, so on. But here he wants to talk about this woman, Sarah. And of course, if you know anything about who Sarah is, Sarai, to start with, and then her name got changed to Sarah, and she was Abraham's wife. She was called out when Abram was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. She left with him. She was his wife, and they went together. And what you find here, and I think this is quite encouraging, is that she gains amazing strength because of her faith. And it shows you very quickly, ladies, that men don't have the exclusive rights to faith. I know the list started off with Abel and you know, Enoch and Noah and Abraham, but and he makes sure, hey, by the way, ladies, top five on the list, Sarah gets in there. He's only on number five by the time he gets to Sarah by names, and here she is. And it's not just Abraham's faith that is amazing, because Sarah had to go with him. Now, that is not a small thing. We think about Abram when he gets called out, and he's going to leave, and he's going to go, and he's got to leave everybody behind. Well, so is Sarah. She's leaving everybody behind. She's walking out on faith. Now, you say, well, you know, she's got to follow her husband, and she's got, you know, it takes faith to follow that guy who you don't know where he's going. And he doesn't even know where he's going. Right? He just, hey, go to a land I'll tell thee of. I'll show you later, Abram, you just go. Could you imagine, ladies, could you imagine your husband says, all right, we're going to move. Let's pack all the stuff up in the U-Haul. Where are we going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know. We're just moving. Say, where are we going?
Southward.
What do you mean we're going south? I mean, it's nicer weather, but where are we going? Where are we going to end up? I don't know. Wherever the Lord tells me, that's where we'll stop the carriage and we'll get out. And we'll unpack there. Because God's promised me an entire country. Now you're crazy. All right? Now, right? Ladies, how about you? I'm not following that guy. That guy has no clue what he's doing, right? We're like, I don't think so. So Sarah must have some great faith. And I've been going with W's. All right? If you haven't noticed the trend has been W's. Lord willing, I will keep the W's for the entirety of the list here in Hebrews chapter 11. And so Sarah's faith is shown through weakness. Notice it says that Sarah received strength. Well, you only need to receive strength when you're weak. The weakness necessitates somebody else to supply the strength. Right? That's why the Apostle Paul, when he's there in Corinthians, says that he'll gladly glory infirmities and distresses, right? And all those things. Why? Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because the power of Christ rests upon him. And so the lady, of course, the ladies in here know the verses. I am sure that the woman is the weaker vessel. That's the way the Lord describes her. And not that she can't be strong in the faith and not that she can't have any of those things. But the idea is that they are more susceptible to certain things. And the Lord knows that. And so he has added protection. But on top of the added protection, you know what he says? I can give strength to the weak. That's the wonder of what he does. He can give strength. Even when we're weak, he gets to be strong. And the weaker we are, ladies, take this as a wonderful compliment. The weaker you are, the stronger he gets to be. Isn't that amazing? That he balances it out with, you know what, you may be the weaker vessel, but that means I get to be stronger for you than I am for that guy you're following. Because you may feel like the weaker, but you have the opportunity to be the stronger in your faith. I think it took more faith for Sarah to go ahead and say, yeah, Abram, I'll follow you, than it did for Abram to go, God told me, so I'm going to go. I think it takes more faith for Sarah to go ahead and believe that she's going to have a child, and we'll get to that in a moment, than it would be for Abraham to believe that Sarah could have a child. There's just something about that. And I can't even come close to saying that I would understand it. Because I don't. I don't understand it at all. But ladies in here, you could imagine far more than me how hard that would be to think that you couldn't. And then all of a sudden God says, okay, now's the time. And not only that, but we'll get to some of the other things. But the advanced age that she has and all the problems and all the troubles that could possibly come. And she's got to trust that God knows what he's doing. You talk about a great amount of faith. This woman is a wonderful example of faith. And gentlemen, you aren't going to be exempt tonight, because know this, that when we're weak, it also shows that he can be strong for us. And so we can learn some things right here from Sarah. And so tonight, I don't think I'm going to preach too long, but I never think that. And so we'll see what the Lord does right here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And we'll look at a little bit about what the Lord has to say about Sarah. Father, we thank you for the night. I thank you, Lord, once again for saving us and keeping us. And what a wonder it is to have a God in heaven who cares about us and wants to take care of us and strengthen and help us. Lord, even when we're at our weakest, you get to show off that you can be the strongest. And so, Father, I do pray you would bless us tonight, that we would be able to, at times of our weakest, we would show faith in the one that can make us the strongest. And so, Father, please help us tonight to learn what we ought to learn and see what we ought to see. I pray Jesus Christ is praised, honored, and glorified. And if someone here doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray they wouldn't leave that way. They'd call upon you tonight. Father, we love you, and I do pray for your soon return. We were talking about it tonight. We were singing about it tonight. Lord, that day we get to fly away and go home. And Father, I pray would be tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. Here we are. And the first thing he says about her, he says in verse number 11, he says, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Sarah herself. He makes sure you understand this wasn't because of Abraham. It wasn't because she was with Abraham. Like oftentimes, right, we think of Abraham, he's called the father of faith. You know, he's the example, the great example of faith that God gives, especially in the New Testament, right? That he believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness and all these things. Ladies, remember this. It's not just because your husband's faithful. Just because he's got faith doesn't mean that you don't need to have it. And just because he doesn't have it doesn't mean you can't have it. It's still an individual God working in individual lives. And so remember this, that God is caring enough that he wants to be strong in your weakness if you'd believe him yourself. It's not grabbing onto her, well, you know, if my husband leads or if my husband does or if my husband, nope, didn't matter if Abraham did. God wanted her to have this victory and to have this strength. Amen. And so you can trust him yourself. Now, the first thing I want to see ultimately is the condition of her weakness. Now, we know that she suffers some things. I'll look back over at Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. And the Bible has several ladies like this that the Lord does some miraculous things for. And now if you don't know, Sarai and Sarah, the Lord later changes it to Sarah. Sarai and Sarah would be the same person. So that's who we're talking about. And here in Genesis chapter 11, verse number 29, and Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no children. Just in case you didn't know what it meant by barren, he goes, she has no children. And she wasn't going to have any children. As far as natural ability, as far as the world's science would go, the answer was no. You would not be able to do that. Now, what the actual condition was, the reason for it, we don't really know. It's not like we can, you know, go back in time and figure out why exactly what medical problems she had, but it was obvious and it was apparent that she was barren. She couldn't have a child. Now, that's a rough ailment right there. Ladies want that, most of them. They want to have a kid and they want to have a family and they want to be a mom and they want those things. And so this is hard both physically on her probably, but it was also mentally difficult. It was spiritually draining. It was something that would be weighing upon her and it would make her feel weak and lesser than the people around her. In fact, when they do things the wrong way, right, and Abram gets his handmaid instead of his wife, and she bears Ishmael, it was as if she was one that mocked. It was like every remembrance of the fact of Ishmael, everything about Hagar, everything about what was going on was a constant reminder to Sarah that she couldn't have that. And it would grate on her and wear on her, and it made her feel weak and it made her feel less. And all of those things are coming together, and it's gone, and she's going, why can't I? And why can't? And I just want, and what is wrong? And there she is. And she's looking and she wants it, but she can't have it. Naturally, it's out. Now, let me say this. Naturally, I don't know what you're good at and what you're not good at. And maybe you're weak in some areas. And maybe you've got some weakness. Maybe it's not a health issue. Maybe it's a mental issue. And you can't stay calm in certain areas, or you can't keep your mind focused in the right areas. Maybe there's some sin in your life that you can't seem to get rid of. And maybe there's something in your life that's a weakness. And maybe you look around at everybody else and your answer is, they have it and I don't. How come they can get a victory and I can't? How come they can have it fixed and I can't? How come everything's going good for them and it's not for me? How come they have it better? Why do they have that? Why do I? And how come I? You ever been there? You know, this is Sarah's mindset. And we see it if you read the whole thing. I can't read all of Genesis. You read through, you know what you're finding? Sarah's like, no, I can't do it. Just take Hagar, we know. And then, oh, wait, now I'm mad because you took Hagar and now she's pregnant. And now how come we can't have, and all the, yeah. Is that you mean Sarah's a real person? We forget that these people are normal people. And if you read Genesis, I mean, I know Hebrews chapter 11 makes them look like gold. They're pure and they're clean and they're great and they're amazing. You turn back to Genesis and you find out the Lord cleaned that story up really great because of their faith. They trusted Him and He counted it for righteous. He just goes, it all looks good to me. But you get back to the story and you find out, Sarah, you know what she's thinking? How come everybody else has and I don't have? How come everybody else is gaining and I'm not gaining? How come it just doesn't seem fair? You can't tell me that's not what she's thinking. You read the story. You know she's mad at everybody. She's even making the decisions for Abraham, and she's still mad because he listened to her. She didn't really want that, but that's what she got. And the ailment is real. And then they hit, because they don't do it right the first time, and you get Ishmael, you lose 13 years, and now they're pushed out even further into their lives. And now age becomes even more of an issue. Look over at Genesis chapter 18. Most of you know all of this story. I just want to get you, keep bringing up the facts right here so you can see them. He said back there in Hebrews chapter 11, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Age was the second part of that condition. Not only was she ailing, she was aged. Now, no offense, ladies, that are older. But once you get past a certain age, you and I both know the likelihood is not good for you to be pregnant. And if you do get pregnant, it's very dangerous for you and the baby. Right? I'm not being mean. That's just, the older you get, the harder it is and the more difficult it becomes. And the idea is that if the older you get, the more problems you can have. And so you get to Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Now the Lord has proclaimed that she's going to have a child, and Sarah doesn't believe it at first. And the reason she doesn't believe is they're well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. You know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, she's already barren, but then you complicate it with the fact that anybody else naturally is not going to be. Even if she was healthy and could have been having kids this entire time, now we're past that time for anybody else on the planet. That's what that's talking about, right? And so now we've got two problems. Not only can she not have kids naturally, she's past the spot where she's supposed to be able to, even if she could have kids. So all hope for her is zero. She was already at zero before we got here. Now she's past zero. I don't know what's less than zero for this idea, but I know percentages, you're really not supposed to go negative percentages. But the truth is, her chances are not slim. They are absolute zero. That's what they are. And so her weakness, you talk about being weak, you feel helpless, you feel lost, you feel like you can't win, you feel like everything's against you, you feel like there's no way it can happen, you're done, you have no options, zero. That's where she is. I can't find a spot where anybody could be weaker and be able to say, zero chance, God, you're crazy. There is no way this can work. And on top of that, you want to see her weakness? Look at verse number 12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Verse 15, she denies it. The Lord calls her out. And then she denies, I laugh not. For she was afraid, and he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Lord calls her out. You know what he's saying? He says, hey, you don't believe me. You know what she is right here? She's weak in faith. God said it, and she goes, no. What? And she laughs at him. Now, I'll be honest. I'd laugh too. She's at zero. She's not at, well, you know, there's a 6% chance. She's at 0%. This is impossible. And I know we all love to run to the verse that the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And we hold that up and act as if that's the banner and that we can, you know, and we act like we actually believe that all the time. Right? Am I the only one who sometimes doesn't actually believe that? And we grab it and we go, I know the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And then we look back down at the situation and we go, and I'm not rightly sure it's possible with him either. That sounds terrible. I mean, you really, if you were honest, you'd think that. And she looks back down and goes, yeah, but, I mean, I know God's saying it, but. I'm too old. I've never been able to have a kid. I'm way past everything. There's zero. And here's her weakness. How can I believe God when everything seems to be against me? The deck is stacked now. It's totally against her. There is zero chance she should win. And the Lord looks at her and he says, you know what? I have a cure. Your condition of weakness is pretty bad, but I have a cure for all of that weakness. Say, what do you mean? Just faith. If you could just stop looking at the circumstances, stop looking at the ailments, stop looking at your age, stop looking at all the things that you think are holding you back and holding you down, quit looking at those and look up to the one you can trust. That makes all the difference. See, our weakness, what the devil tries to do with our weaknesses is he tries to get us to focus on the weakness. We're looking at the ways we can't. We're looking at the ways we just, it's impossible and it can't happen and I can't get better and I can't have this and I can't have that and I can't do and I can't do and I can't do. Eve's problem in the garden, her focus was on the only tree she couldn't have. Can't you eat of all the trees of the garden? Well, yeah. Well, what's the one you can't have? Well, it's that one. It's right in the middle and it's not in the middle. But it's Eve's middle. It's right what she focuses on. Why is she anywhere near the one tree she's not supposed to have? Because it's all about what she couldn't have. Her weakness was she's standing near the thing she can't have because she's so curious about what she can't have. Christian, you keep focusing on what you can't have. You keep focusing on the way you think everything's gone wrong. You keep focusing on the failures. You keep focusing on how things aren't fair and how God's just not treating you right and how everybody else hates you and nobody likes you and everybody's just awful and everything's terrible and why can't somebody else just and how come I can't have? You know what you'll do? You'll stay weak. And that weakness will bring you down further and further. And the Lord says, hey, how about you look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Quit looking down at all the things. Quit looking at the waves and the wind that's boisterous like Peter did, because you'll start sinking. Amen. And you notice the weakness. You can notice the weakness. You need to notice the fact that it's weakness, but you don't have to dwell upon the weakness. Because as soon as you stay there, you will stay weak. Now, I'm not one of these name it and claim it, all right? That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying, oh, well, you know, God's just, He automatically must fix everything in my life and it'll be sunshine and roses as soon as I look up. I'll look up and I'll see rainbows and unicorns flying through the sky. And it'll be all wonderful and perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying this, He can't be strong for you if you don't acknowledge Him and look to Him. You have not because you ask not. He's looking for somebody to look up in their weakness and call upon Him and say, hey, God, can you? And Paul is a great example. We call upon God and God says, I'm not taking it. I'm not taking it away. I can't take it away. That's not how it works. I can't do that for you today, Paul. But what I will do is I will give you my strength. Paul didn't want his strength. Paul wanted his mercy. And he wanted that thorn in the flesh gone. And God said, no, I can't do that, but my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. But because Paul is calling upon Him, because Paul is looking to Him, because Paul has faith in God, that God can change the circumstances and God can fix the problem and God can give him strength and God can recover him, that Paul gains a great victory knowing that the power of Christ would rest upon him if he'd glory in that infirmity. Hey God, I know I can't fix it and I know I'm not good enough, but God, I know You can, and if You want to change everything about it, You can. So I'll trust You. Because when I'm weak, You get to be strong. Because if I'm strong, you know what I do? I pick it up and I do it myself. But when I'm weak, I can't get up. And so it's all about what He can do. Heard a preacher one time, he said, you know, faith isn't hard to live by if it's all you've got to live by. Because if there's anything else, we'll go after that. We'll grab at whatever, we'll grasp at whatever straws we can possibly hold on to, because we don't want to live by faith, we want control. Yep. And you know what God will do to you? He'll go ahead and take away all of the things you could grasp onto. You're left just with Him to hold on to. And it'll make you the strongest you'd ever be. Say, oh, I don't know about that. Seemed to work out for Sarah. Seemed to work for Enoch. Seemed to work for Noah. Seemed to work out pretty well for Abel in the end. So they're doing what? Just grasping onto Him and trusting Him. By the way, it worked pretty well for Peter when he wanted to walk on water. And the only reason he didn't finish sinking is because the Lord saved him. See, our trouble is when the problems come, we focus on the weakness. When God says, I can promise you better, how about you find my promises on that? Amen. You know, He's given us exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. Peter tells us that, 2 Peter chapter 1, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. You know, faith in God's promises are the foundation for the miraculous. You find, look in the Bible and find where God did miracles when people just didn't straight up at all believe Him. They're few. There are a few. But you know, most of the time it's because somebody wanted to have faith in Him and believed Him and called upon Him. I know God can do whatever He wants to. But the truth is, why should He do anything when you won't ask Him? Why should He reach down and give you strength when you're feeling weak if you won't even look at Him and ask Him for it? You know, Jacob wrestles with the Lord and he has to admit who he is. until he can get the blessings. Why can't you just admit you're weak in that area and say, God, I need your help because I can't do it. That's impossible for me to win. I know because I've been fighting through trying to do it. I know because I just want to make it happen. I just want to grab it and make it and force it and do it. And God says, that's impossible for you. But I can change it possible. So what's the cure? The cure is simply faith in God. You say, well, yeah, but she doubted. Well, evidently she didn't stay doubting. You can be forgiven for a moment of doubting. But if you don't ever put your faith in Him, you aren't getting the help. Looking to Him. Looking at what He can do, looking how He can go ahead and provide, looking how He fixes the problem, looking at Him, because He's the one who fixes everything. Amen. Recognizing, hey, you know what? My weakness, I will not gain a victory in my own weakness, because everything about me is weakness. You know, it's hard to admit that you're not strong enough to do it. That you're not good enough. Isn't that one of the hardest things for a lost person to acknowledge? They're not good enough to get to heaven. Isn't that the first thing we got to figure out? Hey, I'm a sinner. Yeah, but I'm going to try and get my good works to outweigh my bad works. That's not going to work. And until they acknowledge that, hey, I'm not going to be good enough to make it into heaven, they'll never get a Savior because they don't think they need Him. You know, Christian, you have to figure out, you know what? Everything that is in me that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good things. So you know what? None of it's good enough. So I'm not good enough. But in Him, when He saved me, He gave me the power of God in me. Well, then the impossible is possible now. But I got to trust what He says. And I've got to trust what He can do. And I've got to trust that whatever answer He gives me is the answer He wants me to have, even if I don't like it. Because His grace is still sufficient for me, and His strength is still made perfect in my weakness. And Sarah found out that His strength is made perfect even when she is weak. And He can do the miraculous if we'd be willing to trust Him. Look back at Hebrews chapter 11. So why did you jump to Sarah tonight? I don't know, but I'm liking it. Man, the Lord is amazing. I've said this before, often we're so used to God doing amazing things that it becomes normal for us to see God be amazing. I mean, if you're around and you're in church and you don't even ask Him fully. You just start thinking about something. All of a sudden, the Lord goes, oh, here you go. And you're like, I mean, I didn't ask Him, but look at God just taking care of me like that, you know? I mean, I didn't ask Him, but I was talking about it a little bit. It's like on your phone now, right? Suddenly you get weird ads and you're like, where'd that come from? Oh, I was talking about that yesterday, and somehow my phone knows everything that's happening in my world. And the Lord goes, I know I was listening too. And I take real good care of my kids. And so here you go. I'll just take care of that for you. And I'll take care of that for you. And then sometimes you ask Him, and He just goes, yeah, I'll answer that. That's easy. I am God. And He does that so often for His children that the miraculous just seems to be mundane to us. Just commonplace that God would do something incredible that everybody else may marvel at, but you and I just go, eh, seen that before. I mean, he just did that last week, didn't he? I mean, didn't he do that? I mean, he does that all the time. I mean, I see his hand move. What's the big deal? Could you imagine if he stopped? Hey, you know what? Let me go ahead and just stop doing the miracles just for a moment so you can remember. We get spoiled. Because he's so good to us. We need to remember that the miraculous doesn't come just because. It comes because of his goodness. That he wants to help you, but he'd love it if you'd acknowledge him. He says in verse number 11, at the end of the verse, he says, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. The culmination of God's power is found in our weakness. Say, what does he do? He doesn't just give her one kid. Say, what do you mean? She had Isaac. Yeah, but because she was willing to have Isaac, that promise that God made to Abraham, that promise that he made that he'd have seed and he'd be, you know, the father of the nations, and he's just, and how amazing he, you realize that the promise that he was given is only accomplished through the faith of Sarah? Amen. Abraham's promises don't come through very well if Sarah doesn't stand with him. Ladies, I'm going to say something. Please don't take offense, all right? You can make or break your husband. In certain areas, you can make him or break him. Because there's some things that God asked him to do, and if you're the one who stops him, I'll tell you this, you'll ruin his fellowship with God. I know it's the same vice versa, gentlemen. But ladies, here's Sarah, and God's promises are waiting. They were put on hold for 13 years because he ends up having Ishmael because his wife told him to go to Hagar. And she didn't believe God's promise that day. And she put on hold what God was trying to do through Abraham. Now you say Abraham could have dismissed it, he could have done what was right, and I know. But 13 years later, they come back around to the same question. And God says, you're going to trust me now? If you trust me, I can still do the miraculous. And so that culmination, notice what he says there in verse number 12. First word, therefore. Because this is what you're going to get. Because she judges him faithful, because she's willing to obey him, because she's willing to listen, because she's willing to go ahead and do what she is supposed to do based upon the command and the word of God, because she is willing to do that and she's looked at God and said, okay, God, I'll trust you. It might not make sense to me. I don't see how you're going to do it. I don't see how it's going to work out. I don't see all these things, but I do know this. God is faithful and he will take care of it. And if he promised it, I can trust him. And so I'll trust him and I'll do what he said, and all of a sudden, therefore. Faith always brings a therefore. Amen. You do and he does. Amen. I'll believe God. Well, therefore. If you're going to trust me, here it is. She gets to have one. And out of that one come many. And it came from one who was as good as dead. That was a descriptor for Abraham. Abraham was as good as dead at this point. Wonderful descriptor. Abraham, he's good as dead. But he's going to go ahead and father the seed of promise. And not only does he get the sand of the sea, which is a picture to the nation of Israel, the physical seed, you find that repeatedly. Of course, Sarah's part of that. But you know what's amazing? God counts her as part of that spiritual seed of the stars of heaven. Now, I won't run all the verses tonight. Read the book of Romans. Run through Romans, you'll find it. And if you don't know what it is, talk to Pastor Legault. He's leaving town on Tuesday. I'm sneaking one more in. Amen. You say, what's God doing? He gives her credit for the physical seed and the spiritual. Amen. You say, why does he do that? Because without her, you wouldn't have either one. God gives her the same blessings and the same work and the same everything that she was going to give, that he was giving to her husband. Because she was willing to go. Because she was willing to obey. Because she was willing to trust him even in her weakness. She was willing to say, okay, God, your call. What do you want me to do? Well, you know, I need you to conceive and bear a son. Because you laughed, I'll make you call him Isaac. So you remember, don't laugh at me when I tell you what I'm doing. And this is what we're going to do. And she goes, okay. Okay. You know, our faith is weak sometimes. Our faith is weak. The Lord talked a lot about to those disciples, oh ye of little faith. Right? He gets back in the boat. Oh ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why would you doubt me? Why would you doubt what I'm doing? Why would you doubt what I told you to do? Because if you'd trust him, you have no idea what great things the Lord will do at the end of the outcome. When you get down, that, you know, she wasn't looking for the sand of the sea and the stars of heaven. She goes, I'm going to have one son. You know, she wanted that probably her entire life. And God waited till the end to give her the last thing. And it seemed impossible. It seemed zero. You know what he said? Just trust me one time. Just trust me right here. Just do what I'm telling you to do right here. Christian, what I want you to see right here is when your weaknesses are coming up in your life and you're finding them, you need to look at God's strength. You need to look at him. And go, hey, listen, I know that I don't have it. I know I don't. Admit it. You don't have it. One of the hardest things we deal with, Redeeming Hope, you can ask Brother Larry, you can ask Shannon, you can ask, you know, any of the guys working over there. You can ask them, you know what you can find? One of the hardest things for people to do is to go, I'm not strong enough to beat what I'm facing. By myself, I'm not going to get victory over whatever sin I'm stuck in. I need God to give me a victory. I need God to protect me. Because I'm weak, I need him. Christian, when you're weak, you need him. The trouble is you don't see yourself as weak. You think you're tough. You think you're strong enough. question, and I'll be done. How many times have you thought you were strong enough and said, oh no, I can handle it? And a little while later, you weren't handling it. It was handling you. And it was putting you down. And it was destroying everything. And you're looking around going, how did I get here? I'll tell you how you got there. You forgot you're weak. That's why he tells you in Galatians, when you go to help a weaker brother that's fallen, he says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one, a spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Why? Because we're all weak. Lest thou also be tempted. Oh, I can never be tempted. You better watch out. You're weak. You're weak. And maybe you just haven't gone that way because you haven't had the opportunity to go that way. You never had the opportunity to make that poor choice. And now you've given an opportunity. You know what you can do? You can fall real easy. Because we're all weak. We're all weak. But in Him, we can all be strong. He wants to give you strength. He wants you to be able to stand. He wants you to have victory. He wants you to have all the things that you may even think tonight are absolutely impossible. God says, what could you give me that's impossible? Let's see what I can do. Let's go ahead and stand. If you're in here tonight, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible makes it very plain. Jesus Christ died for your sins because you're a sinner. And because you're a sinner, you deserve a lake of fire for all of eternity, but Jesus Christ paid the debt of all of your sins at Calvary's cross. Rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and He looks at you and He says, come on to Me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, hey, you come to Me. He that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. You aren't going to be good enough. I've already talked about that. You're too weak to get into heaven. Of your own merits and of your own goodness, you're a sinner and you don't deserve it. There's nothing good you're going to do to get out of it. And so Jesus Christ died for you. And if you want salvation, you can admit that you're weak and you need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior, and I'll ask Him to save me. Christian, maybe you're in here tonight. Ladies, in particular, I know I wasn't necessarily just preaching at the ladies. But what a great example of faith Sarah was. How she doubted here and she doubted. Yeah, you can go ahead and try and pick her apart, but you know what we find? In the end, she trusted Him. And God gives her all the credit and all the blessings that go along with it. Maybe there's some things in your life, you're struggling, you're feeling weak, you're feeling tired, you're feeling downtrodden, you're feeling weary in well-doing. And the Lord says, just take another step for Me. Would you trust? Would you have faith? Because faith always cures weakness. Let Him be your strength tonight. Father, I do pray You would. Bless the invitation now. Lord, help us. Father, maybe some folks, they just don't feel like they could come forward. Father, I pray You'd help them to see it's all right. You've got it all under control. And sometimes we step out and come to an altar because it shows that we're weak and we're proven to You. We know it. And we need Your help. And we need it desperately. Father, I don't know if anybody here is lost. I pray salvation isn't lost on them tonight and they'd see their need and they'd call upon Jesus Christ alone. Father, I thank You that when I put my trust in You, You always come through. What a wonderful Savior we have. Father, bless even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Andrew.